This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Put them hands up! Yeah, put them hands up! Amazing!
What's going on, everybody? It's that time. End of the week. Let's get it in. Let's have a good one, though. Let's have a good vibe.
Be free, lie, fill our hearts and men, just breathe. Speak, be heard for yours and just leave. Gotta break codes of silence, heal more straight from violence. No more police sirens, we won alliance. Common sense need applying. Sick of all separation, rise up.
Here's it go.
Black, white, unite the nation.
Amazing, 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 so damn amazing.
We live for days of no crime. We need more scholars, deep minds. Less drug dealing, more leaders shining. Plus more father figures, less time in. It's so real.
All right, everybody's hands up in the air unless you're driving. You keep your hands on the steering wheel. Everybody else. It's got that 70s kind of soul kind of feel, you know, where we should be wearing some like leather, some denim jackets. I should be having an afro. You know what I'm saying? You guys should be hippie-ish out there with your bongs and stuff like that. Long, flowing hair. Well, I got some music playing. Like that. That's the type of get us in the mood, like 70s kind of cool. Like I come to you with my afro prick. I'm like, what's up, soul brother number one? You're like, what's up, cool daddy? Like that is what that whole thing makes me feel, man. I feel good, man. I wish, if there was an era I wish I could be born or lived in, I was born in the 70s, but if it's an era I could wish I could have lived in, like in my 20s, it definitely would be the 70s, right? I just think that, and some of you guys may have lived it, and you might say, man, nah, it was better in the 80s, or some of you guys may say it's better in the 60s. I just look at the 70s like that would be a fantastic era of just like good music. Maybe I'm just looking at the music and the fun, the clothing, the attire, like all that type of stuff. And some people are like, man, there's some shit going on in the world. So of course we had stuff going on in the world. So obviously you don't want to be involved in that. But I'm just talking about the positive stuff. I'm in a good mood. I'm your drunk uncle. Welcome back to your Drunk Uncle Sports Podcast. And I'm your drunk uncle, Anwar Richardson, in the house one more time. Ready to get this thing started. Get ready to get our party started. Thank you once again for listening to me. Appreciate all the time. Like I keep saying, I gotta find a different way to say it, but I don't, when I say it, I do mean it. I know you got a lot of options out there, a lot of things you could be listening to. And the fact that you take 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it may be outside of your day to listen to me, I sincerely appreciate it. I wish there was a way I can thank you in person. So all I can do right now is just say thank you for listening. And I definitely appreciate you, man. Or ladies, whoever is listening to me, the guinea pigs. Can you hear them? Guinea pigs are listening. They over there. I hope this mic can pick this up. But the guinea pigs are awake, man. The guinea pigs are in the house. They're to the right. Just chilling out, eating, all that type of stuff. I mean, they are kind of become part of the show. So shout out to my guinea pig. Shout out to the Shih Tzu. Chewy. Over there in the cage. Chilling out. I won't be having this location for long. Okay, I've been talking about it. I'm kind of in this quandary, right? Because I don't like to talk about things before they're done. Then I kind of started talking about it. And then I felt like things started going bad. And now I feel things are good. So then I'm like, can I talk about it or not? But I think at this point, if my mere utterance of the words somehow torpedoes this deal, then it's just not meant to be. Shout out to Marcus, by the way. Marcus Myers, met him at a Yak meeting last night. Cool dude, cool cat. I mean, I've seen him before. First time we really got a chance to vibe and stuff. But shout out to Marcus. It's really good talking to him. Make sure you check out his show too here on the Yak. And okay, guys, they tell me I'm closing the house on Monday. That's what they say. That's what they say. They say they're closing on Monday. Now, they also told me we're supposed to close on Friday, and that didn't happen. And there was like a little bit of a hiccup. So, but the hiccup has been burped out, scared out, whatever the case may be. And if first of all, keep knocking on wood, keep saying your prayers, keep putting your positive energy out, because I could definitely feel it, because it was kind of a shift that happened this week. So all you guys who've been kind of supporting me, I appreciate it sincerely. My family appreciates it, because we were on the verge of being homeless because I actually found someone to sublease my place, knocked out a couple of problems at once, and they were getting ready to move in soon. So, I mean, it was like a lot going on over the past couple of days. Kind of got a little tested by realtor. I have, unfortunately, I probably have the worst realtor that there's ever been on the face of the earth. I could say that unashamedly. She, you know, I think sometimes the most realtors are maybe a step above a weekend leasing agent. You know, those the people who just come in on the weekends, don't really know much about the property, don't really know much about what they're doing. They're just here for the weekend to kind of, you know, get some extra income and get their jobs. But, you know, they don't really give a damn. You know, they're there from 12 to 5 and they out, right? That it's kind of feel like they're just those kind of people who have taken the test and passed it. And I'm not saying all realtors, but a lot, because I've dealt with a lot of people who are really bad. And then I've had my realtor who end up being the worst that there ever was to ever do it. Just horrible. Like, I hope she doesn't show up at the closing. I am hoping not to see her face ever again. I'm looking forward to closing on Monday so I can block her on my phone, block her on Facebook in any way that she can ever get in contact with me. Like, that's where I'm at with that. That's where I'm at. But I'm going to focus on the positives outside of all the negatives and be looking forward to the new home. And so what's going to happen in this new home is I'm actually going to have my own private space, my own casita, as they call it. Didn't know what a casita was, but I have a little casita. And so now I can just record there. So you won't be cavernous anymore. It won't be cavernous. We won't have the guinea pigs. I know that's going to be tough for a lot of you guys who kind of grown close to the guinea pigs. All four of them, I don't know. And one of them's name is Tractor. Don't really know what the rest are. I feel like the kids make it up every other time that I ask them, but I actually don't pay attention to anything that they're saying as relates to guinea pigs. But I know they're here. They're cute. And so things are going to change. So sometime later this month when I start recording, you'll notice a little bit of the differences. But it'll be good. It'll be exciting times. I'm looking forward to it. Unfortunately, because of I'm closing on Monday, it means I'm going to miss the first day of spring football practice. I know, sucks. But I take solace in knowing there'll be other times, and me getting a home for my family is definitely going to be more important. Oh, shout out to Suman Vodka, by the way. Just for my random shout outs before I get into a lot of my subject matter. Suman has helped me get through the past couple of weeks of agony and misery. I never want to buy another house again. Like, I'm just, that's that bury me underneath the home. Don't even buy me a coffin. Okay. Don't buy me a casket. Like, nothing, no purchases again. Just bury me in underneath the house, or cremate me or something. And just keep me in the home. But I don't want any other purchases of something I have to go in, because that thing was a hassle. But that's out of the way. We're going to get into some of our other football topics, sort of stuff about Kyler Murray. Or it's Kyler Murray! Like, people, it was his interview. We did an Orange Blood podcast, so hopefully you guys listen to that. Check that out. The Orange Blood podcast, and it's weird because, like, Charlie Casserly, this was an NFL guy who Alex Dunlap apparently hates. And I don't really know much about Charlie to know that way, one way or another, but Alex Dunlap really, really went on one of his typical Alex rants. And it was interesting because Charlie came up with this report that had said that as relates to Kyler Murray, that he just didn't interview well, he had a bad combine. And my question was, how does anyone have a bad combine when you don't even do any activities? All you got to do is interview, and the interviews last 15 minutes. Like, it's pretty hard to bomb an interview in 15 minutes. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying it's kind of hard to do. But, you know, it is what it is. And then all of a sudden later in the afternoon, my main man, Clarence Hill, from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram comes out with his own story and about basically how all these teams love Kyler Murray. And it's just like, here's the thing that was interesting about Charlie's, what he said, and this goes back to things I've been telling you guys, especially as it relates to scouts. Like, when you hear, this is important. This is beyond important. When you hear people and reporters start talking about a scout told them something, a scout told them this, scouts are saying that, ignore them. Because scouts are the low-level employees within an organization. Like, it is like starting, like, it's what you do to start off if you want to be in, you know, management and stuff like that, eventually work your way up to a GM. You got to do scouting, right? You got to do that. And no NFL team, no NFL coach really, really pays attention to the scouts, right? I mean, they just don't. Like, they're okay with them. But at the end of the day, the NFL coaches and GM, they're going to do their own stuff. They're going to look up. They're going to watch their own film, all that type of stuff. And scouts aren't even in the room on draft day. Majority of them, they're not even invited. Like, that's where you got to take it. Like, man, how's this person in, you're hearing, like, scouts are saying a guy could be a first-round pick, and you're hearing that in, like, September, in October, and then all of a sudden that guy ends up being, like, a sixth-round pick? Because the scouts really don't have a say. So it's interesting as it relates to Kyler Murray, the scouts don't have a say, but they want to say, well, you know, he didn't interview well. Man, listen, at the end of the day, I'm just going to tell you like this. I know you guys don't like Kyler Murray because he's from OU and this and that, and I get it, and I get the past history, all that type of stuff. But at the end of the day, this is what I said on the Orange Buzz podcast. I just want to repeat here on my own podcast because some of you guys might listen. Some of you guys might just be like, I ride with Anwar, and I ride with anybody else. And to you, I say thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Ain't no problem. But like at the end of the day, if you're an NFL team, you either have your franchise quarterback or you just do not. And then some people got some middle grounds. Like I use Matthew Stafford as a perfect example. Like Matthew Stafford is like that perfect example of a middle ground. Like he's never going to win you a Super Bowl, but he'll always be pretty good. You know, Matt Ryan kind of guy. You know, he's never going to win you a Super Bowl, but he'll be pretty good. There's guys who will have their jobs for years because there just may not be guys who are better than them, and teams aren't going to just release folks just on GP just because. But if you don't have it and you're one of these teams, especially if you're, you know, you're top 10 team in the draft, top 15 team in the draft, more than likely, you don't have a good quarterback. More than likely, your quarterback sucks. Because it's very rare, I mean very, very rare, that you see an elite quarterback and their team has a top, like, 10 pick. Just doesn't. You just don't see that at all. Because usually elite quarterbacks can carry their teams and help their teams to achieve or achieve. Achiever! Damn University of South Florida degree. Just bite me in the ass again, man. She just went to University of Phoenix. Well, at least Charlie wouldn't be coaching if I went to the University of Phoenix. All right, anyway. Yeah, that's a Charlie dig. And it just hurts, man, because I'm like, Charlie, what are you doing to my school, my program? Like, we were good. But then Willie Taggart sucks over at FSU, so I don't even know what's going to stay in Florida. I'll claim it forever, but I want to ride with it. Anyway, but what happens is if you don't have it, you're always in the search for it. You know, people give the Browns a hard time. People talk, oh, the Browns drafted all these quarterbacks, and they're just a dysfunctional organization. Yes and no, they are a dysfunctional organization, correct. But unless you have that dude, you always have to be on the search for them. And that's where, as relates to Kyler Murray, when it relates to him, if you're a team, you can't just afford to pass on a guy who could be a potential program changer. He may not be, but you can't pass on that and then miss out and then just have fill-ins for the next 4 or 5 years, because those things set your franchise back for years. And so, guinea pigs at it, man. Guinea pigs at it. We're going to miss them, man. We're going to miss them when they're gone. Not killing them, but you know, I just got to put them somewhere else and not anywhere near me. So that's why I think Kyler Murray, all that stuff, and just always remember, like, pre-draft hype, it's a lot of just pre-draft hype. It's just a lot of people talking and a lot of people just putting stuff out there. Oh, by the way, almost did a couple of times. First time listening to me, I do curse. And so you just might as well just know that and listen to me in the most appropriate paces. Also, just as an explanation, Drunk Uncle just goes in wherever we go. They just flop, stay with the conversation. I'm always going to bring it back home, but it's going to be somewhat random. It's kind of like your drunk uncle. He's going to talk about a lot of different things. He's going to go to a lot of different areas. He's going to make some sense a few times. He's going to make you laugh a few times. And overall, you might be like, I don't, this guy's crazy, but it's all going to, it all will come together. Just trust me. And if it doesn't come together, oh well, we'll get over it, right? So that's why I wouldn't even pay attention to what you're hearing about Kyler Murray, because at the end of the day, a lot of smoke screens that get put out before the draft, and people talk a lot of stuff. And I mean, that's why you get a mock draft and you look at that mock draft, and then you look at what happens on draft day, and things happen totally different. Sometimes teams that were expected to take someone at number one or number two overall totally do something different, because at the end of the day, teams, they're not really letting out unless they're the number one pick. And even then, sometimes that might be a scare tactic, but they're not really always wanting to let everyone know what they're doing. It's just not how it goes. Not how it goes in the NFL, right? So ignore that. It should be interesting to watch over the next couple of weeks of what happens. He'll do a scripted pro day. He'll look good. It'll be, for those who are interested in him, it will be a confirmation bias. Here's the only thing I will say. The last thing I'll say, just kind of as it relates to Oklahoma, and I'm going to start talking a little bit about Texas. Unless you guys just want to talk about R. Kelly, we can talk about R. And no, I don't want to talk about R. Kelly. We had a bad Black History Month, man. We try R with that interview. Oh, first of all, I haven't seen CBS in years. Second of all, R just. He's just doing the most. He's just doing the most, R. We know what you do. We know what you do, R. We know what you're about, Kels. I mean, you just acting like you're just innocent. Like, he just, like, when he gets on Tinder, he just makes sure he puts in the most age-appropriate stuff, right? He's just like, no. I don't want anybody who was born in 2000. 2000 and whatever. Now I got to add 8. What, 2005? You know, R ain't looking for no girl who's born in 1980. We all know that. We all know where R. Kelly goes, you know, for his entertainment. It was horrible. So we're not going to talk about that. I already did. Bad Black History Month. Jussie Smollett kind of ruined it for us. R. Kelly ruined it for us. It just wasn't good. This was good. We're just trying to move on and look for some positive stuff. So just last thing I was talking about Oklahoma, man. You know, as good as Kyler Murray was and as good as Baker Mayfield was, damn it, man. I'm just finding it hard to believe that Jalen Hurts is going to come in and be the second coming of both those guys. This is a tough sell for me. I'm not saying Jalen Hurts is not a good quarterback. Like, not saying that at all, but just the notion that this could be the second of the, I'm just not buying it. I think he'll be pretty good. But I just don't, and it'll be good because their schedule always ends up being like really weird, easy to start off the season. Even though they almost lost to, what is it, Army last year at some point? Maybe it was late in the year. I forget when it was, but their schedule is usually pretty easy to start off with. They kind of build their momentum before they get into the Texas game and then kind of take it from there. So, last thing I wanted to say, Lewis, you know, we'll watch the Kyler Murray thing. We'll see what happens when he gets into college, NFL. But then after that, I just think Jalen Hurts, I think he's going to get the torch. I'm just not quite sure he's going to be able to carry it the way those other two guys. I could be wrong. I just don't think I'm going to be in this instance. Okay. Here's the beautiful part about where we are at the end of this week. Because starting next week, starting on Monday, and we're not talking about me closing on my house, but it will be the start of spring football. Spring football starts next Monday. And it's cool because it seems like that we just had the Sugar Bowl a few weeks ago. I'm sure for some of you, you're probably still on a pretty good high. And even if you're not on a huge high, you're still feeling good, and you're feeling good about your team because you know what happened in the Sugar Bowl, and you have a 10-win team, you had a good recruiting. So it's a lot of good off-season momentum. I know Tom Herman doesn't believe in momentum, but I do. And there's a lot of good off-season momentum. And I know you've got to be excited. And this has got to be one of the more highly anticipated spring football practices that has happened in recent history? You just think about your recent Texas football history. And like, when have you really, really been excited about spring football? Like, you've been conscious of it, and you know it's going to happen. But when was the last time you were hyped? When was the last time you were excited? Was it the Colt McCoy? I mean, was that the last time you were really, really pumped up about spring football? I can tell you this. Haven't been that thrilled about it since I've been here. I mean, I missed Charlie's first year. But here's the most interesting thing I just remember hearing about that. And I was here for the first year, but I didn't get here until like June. So I missed spring football. I had to watch it, but I missed it. I didn't get to see it in person. I don't know what the vibe was, but you know, the most interesting thing was I remember hearing just that Tyrone Swoops was so bad and that Charlie Strong considered moving him to tight end, but did not do that for whatever reasons. And now Tyrone Swoops plays tight end in the NFL and Tyrone Swoops wasn't the best quarterback, so what was Trump? Okay. 80 coaches, my freaking program! Okay. Anyway, it surpassed that, like the other springs that have been here, wasn't that exciting. The first spring with Tom Herman was an interesting one because it was just the topic and the conversations that we had from that spring which is totally different because it wasn't all football related. Like, if you guys remember back to that a couple of years ago, it was about, you know, Tom Herman and discipline and doing the and ones and, I mean, all this extra stuff. And it was about the fight and trying to get guys on board. And so it really, really wasn't as much about football and position battles as it just was about Tom Herman trying to take control of an out-of-control program. And that made it wasn't necessarily fun to cover because there was this divisiveness that was there from guys who were not willing to buy in, who were not willing to trust, who were not willing to believe, which is so incredibly ironic when you considered that back then you're cutting off your nose to spite your face because the guy you're loyal to is no longer here. You have these new coaches and you've got to buy in, but they weren't. So that was what that spring was really about. And then last spring, it was basically about the quarterback battle. Like, that was kind of the big topic, was going to be the quarterback battle between Shane Buechel and Sam Ehlinger, what's eventually going to happen. And that didn't really get decided in the spring. I think there was an optimistic belief that they were going to decide that in the spring, and it did not happen. So what happened? They ended up deciding that in training camp. But that was what really that offseason was about. And then this one, and so much different, because it's almost like what I've watched and viewed from other programs, you know, because you get, you know what, we get inundated with all these, especially these SEC spring games and stuff, and we get inundated with those type of things. You get to watch those, and it's almost like this spring is more about the program, the development, because there's this anticipation. And I mean program development in the players more specifically, because there's almost like this anticipation that something special is going to happen this year, and you need to watch every moment of it because you don't want to miss it. It's like every moment is becoming must-see TV. Every moment is becoming must-see TV because as a Texas fan, as a Longhorn fan, and as you feel it and you feel that excitement brewing and you start thinking about big picture stuff and you start thinking about, you know, the regular season wins, you start thinking about the LSUs of the world and facing Oklahomas and competing for a Big 12 championship and then maybe getting back to another bowl game, and some of you guys are probably thinking bigger about the possible CFP and being, you know, highly ranked and, you know, competing against the big dogs of college football. I mean, when I say big dogs, it doesn't have to imply that University of Texas is not a big dog itself, but we're talking about the Alabamas of the world and Clemsons of the world, right? When I talk about the big dogs, the established ones, that's what you're starting to think about, the potential. Some of you guys, that's where you're at. And so because of that, when you look at the start of spring football, it means something to you. It means something to you probably more so now than it's meant in years, because you finally have some hope that it's not just going to be, oh, well, this guy looks good in the spring, and then we never hear from him again. Like, he did good in spring, and then that's it. That's it. Just spring memories. Nothing else, right? New love, gone. which happens. It happened a lot. It happened a lot in the Charlie years, and it's happened before, but you don't get that feeling, because here's the one really interesting thing. As it relates to Tom Herman, that's different. And of course, a lot of things are different. But for Tom Herman, his thing is he wants guys to excel in the spring, because for the most part, Tom Herman wants to be done and then just focus in on, you know, the off-season workouts and then getting to training camp. So the one thing that he's emphasized and may talked about before is that he wants, when they leave spring, he wants to know kind of a good idea of where his depth chart is. Now, it doesn't always happen, and position battles will carry over until July and August before they sometimes are decided. We clearly saw that with the quarterback position last year. We saw that with the battle of left tackle last year. But guys, it also means that this spring is so important, because you're going to get that glimpse of what your team is really going to look like at some point. Like, you're going to get a accurate view of it. And again, like, I get it. It's going to be one of those things where I'm going to have to rely on a lot of our reporting. And I know a lot of you guys get on different websites. So, you know, you'll get a kind of a whole view. You'll get stuff from us. You'll get some stuff from some of the other competing websites. And you'll form your opinions from there. But the exciting part for you has to start with this. This is the first spring in how many years where you feel good, great about your quarterback position. Like, you have to be feeling great. Like, the most important position on the field is set for the next two seasons. And again, when's the last time you felt that good? When's the last time you felt amazing? I mean, just think about it. When's the last time you thought about the quarterback position and thought, man, we are good. Like, we are doing amazing. Like, I have no concerns. I have no worries. So you have that. You have the coaching that you want. You have the coaches that you want. And now it's just a matter of seeing what happens and how things develop and what happens from there. So, you know, one of the things that I had this in our war room the other week, I'll give you a few nuggets. I know people have issues with the nuggets word. That's in another Orange Bloods podcast too. I asked someone. I was like, okay, listen. Give me an idea. Who are the people that need to stand out? And of course, the reply to me is onward. Everyone, you know, we want everyone to stand out. Like, it's not like we're looking for guys not to stand out. It's like, okay, fair. Who are the guys though that you're saying need to step up to the next level? Who are those people? So these are the things and people that we're going to be watching in spring, right? The first name that was mentioned to me was Taquan Graham. You know, and you start thinking about that defensive line, you're like, man, no one's coming back. They got no returning starters. So I was told that has to be a big spring for him, because there's definitely a void that needs to be filled. And he's a guy that you're going to look at and say, okay, is Taquan a guy who can take the next step to fill in? I keep hearing tremendous things about Dele and how he needs to have a good spring, but just a real belief and confidence that he could be a guy that stands out at the linebacker position. Then, hold on one second, guys. I apologize for that delay. So what happened was I looked down at my phone. Of course, I thought something's going on with the home buying process. And I looked, and it was like my State Farm agent. And I mean, they always trying to like sell me on something or have me do something or whatever. So that's one of those things. She could just email me. And so I apologize for that delay. So I apologize that it was kind of like that awkward pause there. I tried to hit pause and I just kind of got thrown off. So it is what it is. But hey, the guinea pigs, they're still eating. They're still chilling, so let's move on. The cornerbacks, I've heard a lot about that. You know, Anthony Cook, Jalen Green, Deshaun Jameson. Like, those are guys that someone's like, they have to make them believe that they're the answer. Like, they have to find a way to step up. They have to, you know, because they need something at that cornerback position. You know, again, you don't have Devontae Davis. You don't have Chris Boyd. Who's going to step up? Who's going to make the next play? It's going to be, you know, Anthony Cook, Jalen Green, Deshaun Jameson. Have high hopes for them. Here, you know, Moro Ajamo is a guy that they hope that will compete against Taquan Graham. Keandre Colburn is a guy that they want to be in the mix. The same goes for Gerald Wilbon. The name that's really, really interesting, and we got you have to keep your eye on from the safety position, is Demarion Overshown. They love him. Love him. Love him. Like, was it as that old saying, that was the 50 Cent song, like a fat kid loves cake? That's how much they love Demarion Overshown. Like, they love this kid, and it's a matter of how do they get him on the field. His benefit is that Brandon Jones is going to miss the spring because of that high ankle sprain. So that's going to give Demarion a lot of reps, a lot of opportunities in order to stand out. And let me just say one more thing. Let me tell you another reason why I just get distracted, right? So we just did this Ticket City podcast, right? And I tweeted stuff out, and one of the talking points here was, should Brian Carrington, this is once something that catchphrase, should Brian Carrington make $500K, right? And there's a reporter who, I'm not going to mention names, but there's this reporter who's like basically text messaging me, telling me that like that's asinine. Like, and that Brian Carrington doesn't do that much work. And I'm just like, dude, just fucking back up off me. Like, you don't even work with us. You don't work at our website. Like, just back up off me. Like, just give me and then he also, so I just like, he asked like, dude, you're entitled to be to your opinion. You're also entitled to be wrong. And then, so now dude calls me, and I'm just, I've just had one of those weeks where I'm just like, I'm not a killer, but don't push me. Like, I'm just getting to that point where it's, I just like, it's going to be like, what's that movie? Like Falling Down with Michael Douglas. Like, just one more thing. This moment, like, I feel like I'm going to go and try to get, like, some breakfast at Whataburger, and they're going to tell me that it's too late, and then I can't get it, and then I'm just going to snap. Like, was that it? Was it the breakfast thing? Was it lunch? I forget what it was, but I just remember, dude, snap. Like, that, I'm getting close. Because people push me to try, man. I just want to be happy. BJ Foster's another guy, though. BJ Foster's another guy that I think has a lot of potential. And like one of the things that that people I talk to are concerned about is they're just concerned about the defense. Like that's the main area. Is like, can this defense be better? Can this defense improve? Like, they just want to make sure that this defense is, because they feel good about the offense. Clearly have some holes to fill on the offensive line. They've got the moving parts, but they just want to make sure that defense is sight, that defense ends up being solid. They want to feel good about that defense once they break training camp. Again, hear fantastic things about Sam Ehlinger. I'm going to have some things in our war room on Thursday night. I don't know when you guys are going to get this, or whether it's Thursday or Friday, but I'll definitely have some key insights, some key things that I've been told as relates to guys who've done well. But, the typical list of characters, without giving away too much and having people pissed off because they're going to say, you broke it on the Yak, you didn't break it on Orange Blood. So to avoid anyone getting their panties up in a bunch. The typical list of subjects, suspects are doing well. Your Sam Ehlingers, your Caden Stearns, your Colin Johnsons. Like, those guys who you expect to do well are doing well and expected to take on a leadership role that they hope will carry on throughout the entire season. But it's good, man. It's like, it is a wonderful time to be alive. If I can name this podcast, which I'm figuring out right now, I'm naming it, what a time to be alive. It is a great time to be alive. We've got spring that's around the corner. It's going to be spring break that's going to be around the corner. You got spring football that's getting ready to get started. You got the spring football game, which is going to be on April 13th. And I think Brian Davis tweeted out something about Bevo Boulevard. It's going to be up and running. So we know that thing is going to be an amazing experience for Texas fans. Or if I was Tim Brewster, I would say it's going to be lit, right? It's going to be like that old guy who's trying to sound cool and hip, but sounds like he's kind of just pretty much a narc. You remember back when you was in school, like, you could always tell who the narc was because that person actually did like look like they were 28. Yeah, that definitely happened. But they weren't cool like 21 Jump Street type of cool. They were just like little like old looking guys. You're like, dude, you definitely are a cop. Like, we definitely know you're a cop, man. And you just never study and never take tests. And then there's that. Good time to be alive, man. A lot of good things, a lot of action. So listen, stay tuned, man. I'm going to have you know me, man, I'm going to be working. I'm going to be grinding. Like, again, I won't be out there on Monday. I'm going to have to miss that. I got my house. I'm closing on. So got to take priorities. But, you know, stay tuned to Orange Bloods. I'm going to make sure I get you guys some good insights, some good updates, some good information. I'm going to try to do my best and bust my ass throughout spring football so you guys have no questions. Try to leave no stones unturned. Hopefully you enjoyed this offseason of coverage. Because we've been able to get you a lot of good stuff and a lot of good stuff first. Good stuff first to the point that people, when I post something and it's Wednesday night nugget, people are bitching about the word nugget. Like, that's where we're at in the complaint department. And that's where we're at in the complaint department. It's a pretty damn good place to be, even though it is annoying as hell. Not going to lie. Check out all the good content that's here on the Yak. You know, check out some of all the great stuff that's here. Recommend it to a friend. Tell them that if your friend signs up, they get like 5 years free. Tell them Ketch said it. Don't say I said it. You know, don't let it come back on me. But just tell them that, you know, and okay, don't do that. I don't want to hear from anybody. You know, I want to get a Yak email, something like that, because then I have to have a drink and then send them off an email at like at 11 o'clock or something. And who knows what I'm going to say? And then I have to apologize. So, guinea pigs are happy. It's a good time to be alive for them too. All right, guys, enjoy your weekend. Be safe. Don't do anything crazy. Make sure you get Uber. You're going to go out to South by Southwest. Man, I know Uber's going to have premium prices, man, but make sure you do it, man. Just do your best to be safe. Spend time with the family. Do a lot of fun stuff, man. Just enjoy life. As I always try to encourage you, man, just enjoy life. Life is too short. Enjoy it. Leave each day like it was your last, because you never know when it's going to be. And until we speak again, which hopefully is going to be next week after I've closed on my house, this is your main man, Drunk Uncle Amar Richardson, signing off and telling you guys, have a good time.